Yak de culture, everyone, and welcome to what is, I believe, episode 38 of Macross Speaker Podcast. And to my left this episode, I have absolutely no one. And wait, where the hell has everyone gone? Well, this episode, we thought we'd try something a little different. It's now been about 7 weeks since the preview episode of Macross Delta, otherwise known as episode 0.89, and you've heard our views here in Japan, right after a theatrical screening. You've heard the US's crew, the Speaker Podcast American's crew's opinions from the US a few episodes back. So for this episode, I thought it would be interesting to throw the question out to you, the listeners. I mean, let's face it, we're all more than a little biased when it comes to the regular crew here on Macross Speaker Podcast. So I put the word out, Facebook, Twitter, the Macross World forums, asking for people's opinions. I approached fans, anime bloggers, and even fellow podcasters. And boy oh boy, did we get a lot of feedback. Now before we get to those, I'd like to thank everyone who sent their opinions in to us. You guys are great. I'm not going to list everyone right now, because everyone has introduced themselves in their segments. With one exception. First up this episode, we have Mike Toole. Now, when Mike isn't busy forgetting to introduce himself in podcasts, Mike, you forgot to introduce yourself. He can be found on Twitter, or you might have seen him posting on Anime News Network with his terrific column called The Mike Toole Show. What many people don't know about the complex man that is Mike Toole is he has a habit of breaking out into song. So, look guys, without further ado, let's get this episode started with the dulcet tones of Mike Toole. Take it away for us, Mike.
Macross returns thanks to Big West. This time with idol singers, I guess. It feels familiar at this rate. It's a bit like AKB0048. It's not really a stretch to make idols into pilots. It's been heading that way over the years. We'll see if the characters hold any appeal when Macross Delta kicks into gear. Soldier of warlords from deep space. I've always liked that line from the old song. It's too early to tell if this show's good, but I'll watch anything called Macross. I had to pronounce it Macross.
Hey, how's it going, Macross World homies? Thanks for asking for my input. As you just heard, I don't really like to respond to requests like yours in a conventional way. I hope you didn't mind it too much. Man, I love that song. I have to admit. It's really hard to sing too. Anyway, you are asking for my impressions of Macross Delta. They're kind of mixed to positive. I like what I see visually. I think the Valkyries look interesting. Conceptually, I'm on board with the series because Macross has always both reflected trends and has been just teetered on the edge of the absurd right from the first series. So the idea of a team of idol singing pilots doesn't seem surprising or weird to me at all. When I first saw the visuals and started hearing about it, I was reminded of the pachinko game footage that they made that involved dancing Valkyries, you know, in plane mode, not in battleoid mode. So yeah, I like the way the franchise is kind of repeating itself in terms that the main character in the first episode, Freya, is played by a new discovery, a teenager named Minori Suzuki. I think that's kind of cool. That kind of harkens back to the the Mari Ijima of the original Macross. And, you know, the whole team's on board, so I think it could go someplace good. Anyhow, you know, I look forward to the actual premiere of the series with great anticipation. I'm hoping that we see some new emerging talent in terms of its action animation and mecha design. You know, it's good to have veterans on board, but I'm wondering what the next generation of artists after Hidetaka Tenjin can come up with. I'm hoping we start to get a taste of that. So, those are my thoughts. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Welcome to Rarikura. It's showtime! Uta wa shinki! Welcome to Rarikura. Yappari, Mikumo-san!
It's showtime. This is the Chicago Howard with my thoughts on Macross Delta. When Delta was first announced, I didn't start thinking about what I wanted in a Delta and a Macross show. I simply hoped that Kawamori would give me the Macross I didn't know I wanted. And now that I've seen the first episode of Delta, I think I can say that pretty safely that he has succeeded. For me, one of the biggest reasons is Valkyrie. While everyone's doing a Chicken Little, screaming magical girl, I see cybernetic superheroes. A whole team of singing and dancing little Tony Starks, minus the alcoholism. You know, I like that they spend as much time saving the civilians as they do fighting the Var-crazed Zentradi. I never thought I would get to see superheroics and giant robots in the same show at the same time, so I'm really happy with that. You know, to me, Valkyrie is the next logical step in the terms of the technology they use in the show, going back all of the cybernetic systems used in Plus, all through the holographic costumes used in the Frontier movies, and also with developing the theme of music as the perfect non-lethal weapon. You know, when they released introducing the drones to do the heavy lifting for the girls and let them keep singing, I like those a lot. And I like the idea of the idol group in the battlefield with multiple units. The girls can keep singing when one girl is calling up the Delta Squad or controlling and directing the drones. The others keep singing and the music doesn't stop. And as for characters, we really only get to start to know Freya in this episode, but she's great. Yeah, I'm a huge Ranka fan, and Freya is like Ranka without the whole traumatized by Vajra as a child aspect. You know, she's so expressive, and she's a little silly, but I'm already rooting for her. The mech action was great. I know a lot of people thought that it was too fast and there was too much to take in, but I didn't mind that at all. I've seen enough war movies. You see the shaky cam, fog of war effects, and I'm just as big a fan of immersion by overwhelming detail. The speed didn't bother me. You know, I can watch it as many times as I want, so if I miss something, I don't mind. I just like seeing that intense speed and the intensity of the action on the screen. Now, the Siegfried is a great airframe. I love that Valk. I really liked seeing the drone deploy and the support gimmicks for Valkyrie in the field. And what was that? Some sort of holographic paint rounds they sprayed on the surrounding buildings to set up the projection screens? Very cool stuff, I think. As for the Draken, I hate the Draken. By which I mean, I love it as the villain Valk. It has that sinister silhouette that says, "We are here to murder your puppies." Now, with 6 Draken in 2 Deltas, soon to be 5 Siegfrieds, I think a fatal shootdown is inevitable. I nominate the Bat's Not Crazy Redhead, though it'll probably be Mr. Scarface. The music in Delta was actually the only slight drawback, slight downside for me. The song Hayate is listening to while he's dancing around the stockyard. And the first song that they play as they come into the battlefield just left me cold. I'm not an idol fan per se. I like the idol music that comes out of Macross. But Ike and I Borderline was such a fantastic song. It made up for that, those first two slightly disappointing numbers. As I say, I like Macross songs, but not equally, and not every single one of them. I don't even have the supposed best Macross song ever, Diamond Crevice, on my iPhone. But Ike and I Borderline was one of three Macross songs that I absolutely loved the very first time I heard it. Those three being Iteza Don't Be Late, Seikan Hiko, and of course, Ike and I Borderline. I'm eagerly awaiting the With Freya version that will eventually come out, and they can planet dance the hell out of this one. If they like, I won't mind. Well, that's pretty much it, so I guess I will be signing off from Osaka. De culture.
I want to sing a song. 1分でも1秒でも長く! だから絶対帰らない!
Hello, Macross Speaker Podcast. My name is Mike, and you can find me in the forums under the handle Full Metal Guitarist. I think I have a whopping 4 posts, so, you know, I post there quite often, obviously. I'm good friends with Gwen and Adrian and Renato, and I just want to thank them for inviting me to share my thoughts on the premiere episode of Delta. A little background about me as far as where I am in the franchise and my knowledge of the franchise. Like most people, I came to Macross through Robotech, but then once I saw the light, realized that obviously Macross was a far superior franchise and started following that. Although I have not seen all the titles in the Macross franchise in their entirety, most notably 2, I've only seen bits and pieces of that, and 7, which, as everyone knows, is extremely long, and just have not found time to just carve out and sit down and watch it. So, but I have seen the original series, Do You Remember Love, and saw Zero and Frontier all the way through. So I'm pretty familiar with the franchise, but I may make some references or things that, you know, that's the popular saying is 7 did it, right? I may make some goofs or say something that might have happened in 7. I have no idea, so I apologize in advance. So let's get down to it. Delta, I've seen it now 6 times. Like a lot of other people, I saw the very first episode raw on its premiere date, and my initial thoughts were, what the hell did I just watch and what's going on? Then a few days later, the sub version came out and I was able to understand more. Fortunately, thanks to the guys and their immediate reaction podcast, even before the subs came out, by listening to their podcast, it helped me get a little bit better understanding of the plot and who the characters were and things of that nature. So that was a big help. But I still was really confused, and, you know, everything happened so fast. But now that I've actually had a chance to watch it 5 more times with subtitles to really take it in and experience and see things that I might have missed the first couple of replays. So, my initial thoughts. Let's see. I like it. First of all, I'll say that. I do like it. But I don't like it as a whole series, and that may not be fair because it's not complete yet. So I don't like the whole episode. I'm like, oh, I love everything about it. That's not like how I was when Frontier came out. Frontier had a big nostalgia factor, and there were a lot of callbacks to the original series, which everybody loves, which I love. So it got me into the whole thing in the first place. And so, I didn't have the same feeling of nostalgia or excitement that I had after I'd first seen Frontier. That's not a bad thing. It's just different. And, you know, Delta's a different series, and that's okay. Obviously, we've heard it explained before that, you know, they really have to cater to who's supporting the franchise right now. And right now, that's women. So, obviously, things are going to be a little more girly. But, you know, watching it through, there's a lot of stuff in there for, you know, guys and gearheads and everything. And that's kind of cool. You know, there's a little something for everybody. So let's go through. I wrote some notes here. The cool thing, what I love about premiere episodes is, does it leave me with questions? Does it leave me wanting more? And so here are the questions that I had coming into it. Who the hell is Lulu? That's what I want to know. Freya keeps referencing Lulu. I think that's the nickname for her rune. That seems kind of what it is, but I just found that kind of annoying that she kept talking to Lulu. I'm like, who the hell is that? Who are you talking to? But I'm guessing it's her rune or her heart-shaped thing that's on her head. And, you know, I'm wondering if we're going to see another mascot-type character in the vein of Icun or Gubaba or something like that. Who is Lady M? That was, you know, ooh, they just kind of like threw that reference out there. And I'm wondering if they're trying to swerve you or kind of troll the fans, hoping that it might be Min Mei or some other character that we have no idea. Maybe Mao, that would be interesting, or somebody completely new. So that's a mystery that it needs to be solved. Why does the VAR syndrome only affect certain people at certain times? Like at the very beginning, we see it affecting a character who's clearly human. And there's pictures of other humans that are affected by the VAR syndrome. But later in the episode, when you hear the second VAR attack, or, you know, the main VAR attack that's the catalyst of Walkure appearing on the scene, it's obviously Zentradi that are affected, or whatever. Are these Zentradi? I forget the name of the other races right now. Forgive me. But, you know, they're obviously alien. They're not human. And so is that something that can be targeted? Is it, you know, a different song or different sound waves affect different races at, you know, certain frequencies or whatever? I hope they address that because, you know, how come when that weird song was floating out into the ether, humans weren't going crazy, you know? And obviously the Walkure girls weren't affected. So why is that? Hopefully they answer those questions, you know, moving forward. And we keep talking about the Aerial Knights, or we've seen mention of they're from the Kingdom of the Wind. And so I imagine it's the same planet as Windermere. Is Windermere the Kingdom of the Wind? And are the Aerial Knights from there? And is Freya related to them? Or, you know, are they from the same planet? You know, who was she supposed to marry? Is it someone on that team? Or is it somebody else that's, you know, we don't haven't even met yet? So really interesting. They did throw a lot at you, and at first I felt like it was a lot to process. But now watching it, I think that they gave you a really good idea, a two-dimensional idea of the characters. Like they kind of gave you like little just tastes and flavors of their attitudes, you know. So you kind of see, you know, Reyna, she's like the whole tsundere type. You know, then you've got Chuck Mustang, who's like the, you know, Kakizaki type character. It's always, you know, just trying to have a good time. And then you've got the serious ace pilot with Messer. And so, you know, they all obviously have their different archetypes. And that was evident with the little bit that they introduced, which was really cool. You know, I like that they're, even though they threw a bunch of characters at you, none of them felt the same. They all felt different. And that was really cool. I appreciated that. So obviously Macross, you know, Macross is all about the three big angles, right? So there's the triangle, the mecha, and the music, right? That's the triangle of Macross. But this one adds a fourth dimension with the girls, because I feel like even though music is part of the big three that makes up a Macross series, I think the girls add like a different dimension to it. And I think I heard Gwen mention that, you know, that's why the Delta is not a perfect triangle, because there's, you know, things don't exactly match up. And I like that. It's cool. You know, this is different. This is new. And we, you know, Macross always reflects the current musical trends that are popular in Japan. And, you know, so right now, it's idol singers. And so makes perfect sense to carry the franchise in that direction, even though a lot of people may not appreciate it or enjoy it. But I think that if they keep it balanced, you know, they give the girls like the aisle stuff, you know, the cutesy stuff, but they still give the guys the mecha and the dogfights and stuff like that. I think, you know, they can give, they provide something for everybody. And so that's a great thing about the Macross franchise in general. So let's see, the girls. Something I found interesting about Freya was that she's made several comments that she can hear colors. Like at the beginning, she said, oh, that sounds blue, or this sounds white, or whatever she said. You know, and then later you hear the Aerial Knights make some of a similar reference. And so I'm wondering if being able to see colors and see sound is something that is native to people from Windermere, you know, if that's like an ability that they have or something like that. So that's interesting. And of course my favorite girl is Machina. I think we all know why. Two very big reasons why. But besides that, she's cute. I liked how she called the Regults Regultchans. I thought that was really cute. And her little tracking sensors are all little bunny ears, which is just super cute and awesome. So, and on to the mecha. So I just got to say that I love the Siegfried. I've always been a fan of the forward swept wing design. I used to, that was one of my favorite, what was it, the Sky Shark in G.I. Joe had that, or the Tiger Shark, or there was the Sky Striker, and then later there was the Sky Shark or whatever that had that forward swept wing, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite toys as a kid, so to see that in Macross Valkyrie is awesome. I did like the Draken as well. And I was a little disappointed, but again, the episode's not complete, because I like how the YF-31s, the Siegfrieds, they were all tailored to each pilot. So they had their own color scheme and stuff like that. And they all had different, you know, configurations and stuff, which is cool. Whereas the Drakens, they all looked like just this uniform blue, green, seafoam green, whatever color. I wasn't a fan of that. I'm hoping that after some more CG gets added on, they'll look a little different, or you'll be able to tell them apart, because they all just look really generic and nondescript. And we know from the toy models that come out, that they're not, you know, they're actually really cool. And I was a little peeved that they didn't show them transform, but I think they kind of wanted to save that for maybe episode two. Cause I do want to see them in Batroid mode and Gerwalk mode as well. And all we got to see was a fighter mode, but the dog fights were awesome. You know, and so I'm a big fan of the two major Valkyries aircraft of the series. So can't wait to see more of that. Something I found interesting was that, moving on to the music aspect, something I found interesting was that, music is being used by both sides, both the antagonists and the protagonists. So it's being used as a weapon against the protagonists, you know, being the Delta team, as you know, music is triggering the VAR syndrome, which is interesting, and it's obviously battled with music. So, you know, that's really cool. That's a interesting spin on it, and I appreciated that. Now the main two songs, there's a couple of Walkyr songs that we heard, but the main two that really are more prominent are Love, Halation the War, and Ikenai Borderline. Now after the first run through, it just sounded like generic J-pop idol girl songs. But as I watched the series more and more, they started sticking in my head, specifically those two. The other ones that you hear, you know, on the PA and stuff like that, they weren't like background noise. So, you know, maybe if they come out with singles, they'll be more catchy. But the big two, Love, Halation the War, and Ikenai Borderline, you know, the first one, Halation the War, at first I was like, it's just kind of annoying. But then you start watching it over and over again, and the song kind of gets stuck in your head. That's always, you know, it could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on, you know, who you ask. Something interesting, because I'm like, halation, here go, here they go, making up their English words again, something that sounds cool. But I looked it up, and actually, it's cool, and it fits with what was happening when they start singing this song. The definition of halation is the spreading of light beyond its proper boundaries to form a fog around the edges of a bright image in a photograph or on a television screen. And I thought that was awesome. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, they're projecting holograms of themselves all over the place on the battlefield. So it just fit perfectly with what the Walkyear unit does. So thought that was pretty awesome. Very well thought out. And then Iki Night Borderline. I was never a fan of ska, a huge fan of ska. I liked some of it, you know, in the mid-90s and stuff. And so with the horns came out, when I saw the first preview that had that song as a background, my first reaction was, man, I really hope that's not the, you know, the beginning OP, the beginning OP or the ending theme, because yeah, I'm just not going to stand it. Well, the single comes out, and six watches later, and I don't know how many playthroughs of the MP3 later, yeah, that song's just stuck in my head. So another, you know, another kudos to the Macross music team. Because I think if a song can get stuck in your head and be memorable, I mean, they've achieved what they set out to do. So something else interesting that I thought would be cool is, you know, we've got a lot of opinions from guys that are, you know, just so deeply, I mean, it's a Macross forum, so we all love Macross. But I just watched it again with my friend JD, who's never seen an episode of Macross at all. And so I'd like to get the take of somebody who's never seen, who's completely new to the franchise, and see what they think about it. I thought that would be cool. It would be an interesting perspective, you know, that would help combat some of the ignorance out there from people that just want to hate it, just to hate it, because it has dancing girls. We'll talk to my friend JD in a minute, but just to sum up my review, I liked it. I want to see more. There were some things that I didn't like, specifically, I almost forgot to mention, they lost me when the girls came on the battlefield and the Siegfrieds came in the first time when they started doing that choreographed dancing stuff. Fortunately, it only lasted like 3 or 4 seconds. It looked cool, I guess, but yeah, that, you know, the Valkyries don't do that. But that's probably my biggest gripe with the whole thing. That was just dumb. But it, like I said, only lasted 4 seconds. We got some cool dogfights after that, so I can look past that. So yeah, I'm excited to see more. You know, it's always great to have a, you know, franchise that just keeps going and giving us new and cool, you know, characters and stories. And so I'm really excited to see more and see where they take the series. So, you know, springtime's just around the corner. We'll see that soon.
Hi, hi. こちらマキマキ。シャハルスティも異常なし。104式リガードちゃん。
Hello, my name is Daryl Surratt. I'm one third of the Anime World Order podcast over at www.animeworldorder.com. We just passed our 10-year anniversary. I'm also a contributing writer to Otaku USA magazine. And while I may not be as big a Macross fan as you or any of the hosts of this podcast, Macross is something that has meant something to me for quite some time. Macross to me had a distinct visual style to it. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen before or even since. I could spot copies or ripoffs or homages from a mile away. I'm not going to pretend that I have seen every single Macross or know every bit of lore, but I know what I feel. And to me, the first episode of Macross Delta felt familiar. And that isn't a feeling that I'm used to feeling whenever I see Macross. Familiarity is not a word that I associate with jet planes that fly in space and transform into robots and fire missiles that have smoke trails that curve and twist amidst pathos and melodrama. So what happened? Did Macross Delta do something wrong? No, I don't think so. Macross Delta just didn't do anything different enough from other anime. Now, perhaps if you only watch Macross, Delta may be a drastic departure from what you've come to expect. from the name Macross. It's been nearly 8 years now since Macross Frontier, and a lot has changed since then in anime. Perhaps there are three distinct groups of people in the West who would be inclined to watch Macross Delta. The first would be lifelong Robotech fans, who would express hesitation and concerns over the fact that Macross Delta isn't Robotech and can't possibly fit into their continuity, no matter how hard they try. The second group of people would be Macross fans, and there may be a split reaction among that fan base, because some Macross fans may say this is just too different, too radical a departure over even Macross Frontier. But then there's a third group of people, who are just general fans of Japanese animation, who happen to have seen this first episode of Macross Delta. The reaction among many fans in that third group is, wow, this sure is a lot like several other anime that I've been watching in these past few years, isn't it? Within the last few years, there have been attempts to replicate the Macross formula in non-Macross series. This isn't something that was done typically. When SDF Macross came out, Orgus wasn't really a big thing. In the wake of Macross Plus, there weren't very many other shows like it. Even Cowboy Bebop is something of a stretch. Certainly when Macross Frontier came along, there weren't lots of other shows like Macross Frontier. Nothing looked like that. Nothing sounded like that. Certainly Shoji Kawamori made other shows, but they lacked that sensibility. That changed within the last few years, though, because AKB 0048 came out. Made by Satellite, same people who made Macross. Shoji Kawamori, the Macross architect himself, and they went and they made a Macross show without Macross elements in it. It featured the band, the AKB48, the very large idol group band. Part space opera, part magical girl, part idol drama. It was a hit, and I loved it. And then they made Symphogear, which was let's make AKB0048 without the AKB48 this time. Symphogear was then followed by Symphogear G and Symphogear GX. All of these shows are series about multiple girl idol groups, oftentimes on platforms, oftentimes flying about, oftentimes with wands or paraphernalia, oftentimes with transformation sequences, engaging in sci-fi battles amidst music and drama of becoming a singer simultaneously. In the not-too-distant future, there will be a series called Utakata Overdrive. Similar premise. As such, the imagery of Macross Delta, I'd seen this before. This imagery, these color palettes, these character types. I've seen many shows over the last few years that are about girl groups on flying platforms singing to people amidst the juxtaposition of warfare and sci-fi action. This defines the Satellite show style more than anything. It doesn't define what I consider what Macross is to me, and it's not even to say I dislike it, but this is all Satellite does now at this point, is these sci-fi idol girl shows with robots and explosions. There are maybe four or five shots throughout all of Macross Delta that felt distinctly and uniquely like a Macross show to me, all of which came courtesy of the villains, strangely enough. It's a Satellite show with a touch of Macross flavor in it. Not so much a Macross show to me. Things can change. After all, Macross Frontier ended much differently than how it began. It's not that it has elements that haven't been seen before in Macross. It's very easy to point to these things and say, hey, this was always there. That's not the conversation to be having, though. That's a bit dishonest. This is really a question of what's being emphasized. Is Macross a space opera with a touch of idol drama, with a bit of romance, particularly in the forms of a love triangle on the side? Or is Macross an idol girl show plus a love triangle romance with a touch of sci-fi space opera on the side? That's the question here. It's all there, but the mix of the recipe is a little off. And that's why I feel neither intense dislike nor intense anticipation to see the rest. Don't get me wrong. I'll be watching all of this series as it comes out. I'll have to do it illegally because Harmony Gold is scum. And yet I don't feel like this will be a thing that sticks with me for years, the way that Macross and Macross Plus and Macross Frontier have done. This may just be another good, decent show from Satellite. And that's okay, but I think the word Macross carries with it higher expectations. This feels like another day at Satellite, the next show in the sequence, And then once Macross Delta ends, there'll be a next show after that. Maybe another Symfo Gear? Who knows? In the end, Macross Delta has a lot going for it. Music, animation, and of course, transforming robot jet planes that fire swarming missiles. Though I will admit, I was a bit concerned when the initial volleys of missiles went straight. What is this, Robotech the Shadow Chronicles? Fortunately, it picked up near the end, and hopefully it stays more like that than it was in the beginning. But one thing Macross Delta's missing, that all the other Macross series to date have had, is novelty. And it remains to be seen whether I'll get that.
Uta?
Greetings, my name is Frank, also known as Hanno Heike on the Macross World forums, and I'm here to share my thoughts on the preview episode for Macross Delta. Now, with this being a preview episode, I think the presentation is a little different than first episodes of other series. For example, I'm currently watching Super Dimension Century Orgus, and the title mecha doesn't show up until the fourth episode, and over that time, a lot is being spent to introduce each individual main character and explain the story setting. While with Delta, the first episode here is kind of jumping right into it. It's like seeing episode 4 for Star Wars for the very first time. You get a short introductory narration. Delta's central conflict, VAR syndrome, is already an established threat. There's already been a counter to that threat established, namely Delta Team and the Walkure. So we're getting a lot of elements that are shown as already being established, yet we don't know a whole lot about them just yet. Now, I can kind of understand why a lot of people are surprised and not sure how to take the Walkure Idol Group and Delta Team. Compare it to Macross 7. In contrast, Sound Force doesn't show up until the middle of the series. So the first half of the series is leading up to their creation. Imagine if Macross 7 started off with Sound Force already established, and we know nothing about them. There's already a pink Valkyrie with speakers on the chest for Milen, and we have a green VF-17 with a drummer in the back, all in the very first episode. That would be very shocking. However, I'm not saying that I personally would have preferred Delta to build up and explain everything. I liked how this preview episode jumps right into the action. And I think the episodes that are to come, and I think the following episodes will more properly set up the story setting and provide the explanations and everything that some fans may be needing. Now, out of all the things that Delta introduces to us, there's a lot of focus from fans with the Idol Group. And some of these fans are using the Idol Group as a source of skepticism on what Delta is going to be. I think focusing on the Idol Group overlooks other things that Delta shows us. For example, the Valkyrie combat. Now, I was very impressed with the Draken. I like how the design of it is very different from Valkyries that we've seen in the past. I was impressed with all that Delta shows us of its capabilities without really showing it transform at all. So I'm intrigued with the Draken, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. And I've heard that Kawamori has said that Delta will focus on Valkyrie combat. So after seeing the Draken, I'm looking forward to how much mecha action we're going to see over the course of the show. We've had Valkyrie on Valkyrie combat in Macross Plus. We've had some of that in Macross Zero. But now we're getting a series, a whole new series, where that's going to be a dedicated focus. So I'm predicting that by the end of Delta, we may possibly have... we're going to end up seeing the most Valkyrie-on-Valkyrie combat that has ever been in all of Macross. So if the idle angle isn't your thing, I think that's something that we could all look forward to. I've heard some people comment that this Macross is not their Macross. That this Macross is going to be focusing on a demographic that doesn't include them. And when I say them, I'm referring to longtime Macross fans. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think older fans are being kept in mind. And where I see that in the preview episode is the VAR-infected Zentradi. They could have used any antagonist. They could have used just random dock workers or just random anybody to become infected and to start running amok, causing trouble. I think the fact that they used Zentradi, we got to see a Zentradi battleship, we got to see classic and variants of classic Zentradi mecha. Using them is a throwback to classic Macross. That is something for old Macross fans to recognize, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that as Delta goes on. And I think as Delta goes on, more fans will warm up to it. I'm kind of thinking about the Ganlan character from Macross 7. When Macross 7 starts off, in the very first episode, when Basra starts singing, everyone is confused. Milene's staring at the screen, and she's like, what is going on? And Gamlin's pissed off. He just sees Basra as this interference. He doesn't understand what the heck he's doing. And as the show goes on, Gamlin's just having this thing against Basra. He's practically hates him. But by the end of the series, Ganlan is able to hear Basra's song. And he kind of represents the skeptical Macross fan to me. And I think we're going to see kind of the same thing with Delta. At the beginning, we're going to have some fans that are skeptical. But as the show goes on, I think it's possible more fans will come around. Now, I just want to add a closing thought relating Delta to my experiences with Gunbuster and its sequel, Diebuster. I love Gunbuster. It's one of my favorite animes of all time. And I was really excited to find out that there was going to be a sequel. And when Diebuster came out, and I watched that whole series, I was very disappointed with it. And the reason I was disappointed with it was I was expecting a direct continuation of Gunbuster, something closer and more direct. Now, when Gunbuster came out on Blu-ray, I rewatched Gunbuster, and then Diebuster came out on Blu-ray also, and I decided to rewatch that. And this time, going into Diebuster for the rewatch, my expectations were different. I knew I was not going to be watching a direct continuation of Gunbuster. And so I watched it as its own unique, independent work, separate from Gunbuster. And when I was able to view it as its own thing, as its own show, and not bring any baggage into it, I saw it as a very good homage to the original Gunbuster. Now I like Diebuster a lot. I think it's special in its own right. And that's how I approach each new Macross series. I think it's best to look at them as independent works, completely separate from all the others. It's best to go into Macross, a new Macross, without any previous baggage. So I'm looking at it as a totally unique work that is not going to take away from anything that I've enjoyed previously. And if I go into it watching that, I'm more likely and more able to enjoy the new things. I'm more able to accept things that are different and more curious to see how they'll turn out. And when the homages and references to classic Macross show up, I'm able to appreciate them a lot more. So that sums up my impressions with Macross Delta. Thank you to all the regulars of the Macross Speaker Podcast for all that you do, and thanks for letting me on. Folding out.
All right, so episode one of Macross Delta has just finished airing on Japanese TV, and with me is Leonardo Flores. Hey there, Leo.
How you doing?
Been a while since we had you on. I think the last time we had you on was...
the model kits.
Yeah, and before that at Macross Worldcon 2014.
Yes.
In that wonderful drunken debauchery that was the after party.
That was awesome.
So, look, you've just finished watching Macross Delta. It's mm-hmm. been hyped for so long.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? Feel free to include spoilers if you like.
I was going
to
say that. I'm going to spoil. You know, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think one thing about Macross with me is that the first episode has to punch you in the gut right away. And this one did. A little bit different. But I didn't feel the dread right off the bat. But it was a well put together, the first episode. A lot of mystery to it. And that's what I liked about it. They've even in this first episode, they've kept a mystery. One thing, like I said, you know, we talked about was, to me, it was like if Jammin' Birds kicked ass. That's what Macross Delta is. If they were just like Jammin' Birds, you know, if you watch Macross 7, they were kind of like the group that was kind of the cynicism of the show about how the music industry is and everything. But it was like if that team... like actually got together and actually did it well, did it with soul, did it with great music, and that would be the Delta, the Valkyrie. I guess I don't know.
Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Yep.
So and I think the characters, you know, seem very great. It's still a first episode. It's a good introduction to like all the characters. Animation was well done, and there's a lot of mystery to it, and that's what I like about it. It's gonna keep me held on. I'm really looking forward to the second episode. I was kind of like, oh, that's it. I want more. You know. And so, which is what you want for a first episode, is that you want more. And but the song is great. It's, you know, reggae, ska, R&B type song, which is very way out of left field for Macross. You just don't hear that in Macross music. And it's an awesome song. I love it. Love it right off the bat. I can't wait to get it on CD. Sorry. Have a cough.
Did any of the newer elements feel strange to you, or did you accept them right away? Because during the screening we saw, I mean, the magical girl Henshin part, is kind of, it took me out of watching it, and then, because they do it for three characters.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit like, oh, man. Oh, so many. It took me out of the movie and made me think of the overseas fans.
Mm-hmm.
But as I watched it, you know, I didn't care anymore, but how did it
with me, I mean, I just enjoyed it. I laughed. I thought it was, you know, this really unique take on I guess that Jamming Birds theme I mentioned before, and it's you know, there's a lot of parts, like, I mean, it's there, it has soul. I enjoyed the characters. I see where they're going with those characters, and it brought me in, and I laughing means I'm not laughing at the show because it's stupid. I'm laughing at it because it truly is making me feel good about the show that, like, it's like, this is some really funny moments, which is good, you know? And, you know, of course, you know, let's hope that we have some pretty deep drama as it goes on, which I'm probably pretty sure that's what they're going to do. You know, once we get to know the funness of the characters or all that, I think later on down the road, I think then that's when the story, we still don't even know what the triangle is for the show, you know, who loves who and what and everything. You know, we have a sort of idea, but I mean, they haven't even revealed that yet.
Yeah, they didn't hint towards anyone having any kind of romantic connection or desire for the other person. Or the Frontier episode, Ronka sees Alta for the first time, and then it's just, you know, the big white light and the shining glitter.
Yeah.
So no one in the show seems to like each other in that way. But yes. I do think that they set up the three characters to be in the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll probably...
Yeah, Carl Moore, in the talk show that followed, because we had, you know, a 30-minute worth of documentary and talk shows that went along with it, I think it was either the director or the writer said that, maybe it was Carl Moore, I forget now, mentioned that Immelman, that Hayate and Freya had a good... He thought they had the potential to have chemistry, but whether or not they developed that or whether who the third person would be if they went there, he didn't know. Certainly, she could give him motivation and maybe he'd see something in her that way. Mm-hmm. But so let's talk very quickly Mecha, because as you saw, this is a mishmash of Seven and Plus. So what do you think of the Mecha?
I always tell you guys, I mean, I don't like forward swept aircraft, even real ones, even the German ones, even the ones that we've done in the 70s. It's not really a design aesthetic for aircraft that I really enjoy, but I do really love those fighters. I mean, I just think the refinement of the 19, I guess, and there was the other one. I think there was a 25. Then there was another one that had forward swept wings, but
the Durandal.
Yeah. And I think it's a nice refinement. It just looks really nice. I think the colors, especially the color schemes on them, the blue and white one, is just like, that just looks really cool. And of course, you know, because of Area 88, back when I was a kid, I've always liked the Draken. So it's really cool to see this as an inspiration, because it's somewhat of an obscure aircraft, even for somebody like me. I collect Militaria, and I have World War II uniforms and everything. And you never see the Draken as a top five, top 10 aircraft of anybody's list. And it's always been one of my top five, top 10 aircraft. It's just a gorgeous little airplane that was designed to, like, they didn't, I think it was a Sweden, or I forgot who made it.
It was Swedish.
Yeah. Cause it's a Saab. Mm-hmm. And, those airplanes were designed to, like, they didn't have a lot of air bases. So what they did was they wanted to have these airplanes designed so they could take off from the streets of all around the whole country. So you're not dependent on, you know, bases and stuff. You can park one in a garage and literally take it out to the street and take off from a highway. Mm-hmm. That's how those airplanes were designed. And it's just cool to see that small little fighter, a variation of it in Macross. It's just really cool. It's a nice addition to the look of the show. So both Mechas, you know, it was good seeing the Regals, you know. That was really cool. It's really cool variations of them that we've never seen before. And same thing with the Destroids. You know, they're very Destroids were kind of Macross Zero esque, but you know, it was cool. It was I liked it. It was the action sequences were really well done. You know, I enjoyed it. They were fun. I laughed, and they were very dramatic.
So overall, thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential here for a first episode, and it gets me hanging. I want to know the mysterious song that sets off the Zentradis. That's a big one. That's a fantastic one, and it's you know, we got to wait another 6 or 7 months for it to come out and see how the story plays out. But I think everything's there at every level. I think it was a very good first episode.
All right. Well, now we've got potentially up to 4 months or so to wait until episode 2 is. So the countdown begins.
Okay, and I want model kits.
All right, and this is Mike here again. I'm here with my buddy JD, and we just watched the premiere episode of Macross Delta. So to give you guys a little background, so my buddy JD, you're 24, right, bud?
Yeah, 24.
Okay, so he's 24. He's into anime. He watches a lot of stuff, but he has never seen an episode of Macross, nor an episode of Robotech. So this is the opinion of someone who has just seen this series for the first time, is familiar with anime, but has really no expectations of the Macross series or the Macross franchise as a whole. So, JD, why don't you tell me what you thought of the episode?
I actually really liked it. I'd never heard of... I won't say I've never heard of Macross. I mean, you're into anime long enough, you hear about just about everything out there. Right. Like Madoka Magica. I've heard of that. I've never seen that either. But I actually really liked it. I wasn't expecting all of what I saw, especially the idol girl band stuff. However, I am really curious to see how they approach that, because it seems like, yeah, they were definitely leading off with that, but it definitely seems like there's room for more action regarding that. Like they're going to do more with it later.
But right.
I wasn't expecting that, and I had said this to you earlier. It definitely seemed like it hit some of the same notes as some of the beginning episodes of some of the Aquarion series, specifically Aquarion Evil,
right?
Which started in a very similar way, with the guy the guy meeting the girl. The rest of the team shows up. They have it under control, and then things kind of spiral out, and the main characters have got to come in and fix things, which we obviously don't see because, it's, only 89%
done? Yeah, so, version 0.089 or...
Yeah, 0.89.
Yeah.
And, it left me wanting more, which is a good sign. Mm-hmm. I loved the mech designs. They were absolutely awesome. Not just that, I also liked... I know this is a really kind of clicky thing to like, but the pilot gear, the pilot suits.
No, that's cool. That's actually a lot of times, a lot of people with the characters and stuff, especially the collectors and stuff, they want models or stuff with them, in their flight suits and stuff like that. So that's actually a big thing in the Macross.
Because that's one of those things for me where it kind of varies from mech anime to mech anime, because you had things like Eureka 7, where they didn't have any. Suits, they just kind of went into their street clothes. I think the closest we got was the stuff that Holland had to wear while piloting the B-303 Devilfish.
Right.
Yeah,
see, and it's funny that you mentioned both Aquarion and Eureka 7, because along with the Macross franchise, all those franchises, what do they have in common? The same director, same mech designer, mm-hmm. Shoji Kawamori. So yeah, it's funny that you not even knowing Macross... picked up on that.
Yes. Well, I mean, especially now that, when you were telling me during the episode that he had designed and worked on a lot of the same things, you can definitely see the elements in there, especially the vectors in Aquarion, which are basically just like mystic fighter jets almost, mm-hmm. which are really cool. And to this day, Eureka 7 probably has some of the most unique mech designs, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I know Code Geass is also up there with unique looking things, but those were more of a practical design with the leg wheels that pop down on the back of the legs.
Right.
But I think the only other anime that had fighter or pilot suits that were also my favorite, like the best looking pilot suits aside from the ones I just saw in Macross, had to be the ones from Code Geass.
Mm-hmm.
But these ones look nice. They look practical. They looked heavy. They look like they were actually meant to help the pilots withstand some Gs, which is very appropriate considering the fact that most of the time those their mechs are fighter jets, which, I think that's really flipping cool.
Yeah, so. Well, and the thing with the Macross series, too, is that their Valkyries are designed to both be in a regular atmosphere, like a planet, like you saw, when they were fighting the Var syndrome. But then you saw when they had the attack from the unknown, the other Valkyrie pilots, they're called the Mystic Aerial Knights, or the Mystic Aerial Knights, or the Aerial Knights from the Kingdom of the Wind. Anyway, but that was the unknowns that attacked the other base. Obviously, they had to go out into space, so those Valkyries are both designed to go both ways. So it's cool that you picked up on that.
Yeah, I also really liked that the aliens that they did show weren't like super crazy looking aliens. Like they were just very subtle variations on the kind of human design. It wasn't like they were like things walking around with like just tentacles all over the place or whatever. They just looked like something a little bit more natural that people would be less freaked out by if they saw one on the street.
Well, yeah, and then that's very that's really interesting that you pick up on that too, because in the Macross universe, obviously there's a few different races, but the main two are the Zentradi and the humans, and basically the only difference between the Zentradi and us are the Zentradi by birth or naturally are giants compared to humans, or what they call Myclones. Mm-hmm. And now they've actually made a difference, or like they've to distinguish between a Myclone size Zentradi, and this is kind of a retcon. You'll notice some of them had like pointy ears.
Yes.
Like Vulcans. It wasn't always like that in the original Macross. They've actually retconned that to where the Zentradi have pointy ears now. But other than that, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Zentradi and humans are very similar physiologically. Yeah. So that's cool. So overall, you liked it. So a lot of the problems that people are having on the forums, or older Macross fans, or guys specifically, mm-hmm. is they're really having a problem overcoming the magical girl thing. Oh. And I kind of touched on that earlier in my segment, but what do you think about that? Because you said you liked Aquarian, and obviously that had some of the same elements. So how did that strike you when you saw like the singing and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, after having seen Aquarian, it definitely isn't the weirdest thing I've seen in a mech anime, especially considering that Aquarian is the series best known for its orgasmic gatties, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, that's about as crazy as you can get. I think I think some fans will probably find a nice little homage to, like the Sailor Senshi transformations of, back in the day, especially with, Sailor Moon Crystal, you know, kind of being somewhat relevant. Is that still going on?
Sailor Moon Crystal?
Is that still going on?
I think it's on right now. It's on Hulu right now, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that had ended or not, but I mean, it's definitely the transformation is a nice throwback to that. And I told you earlier, I'm a huge fan of Henshin Hero, so I didn't mind that super, super much, mm-hmm. I guess. But, it kind of takes you out of it, because the very first question that you have when all this stuff is going on is, how are they going to beat these robots that they're fighting?
Right.
Are they just going to, like, I don't know, like, peace sign their way out of it or whatever? I mean, the only thing I can think of is that one chick, the one you said was your favorite, who, I mean, I'm guessing she could just, her chest could jiggle away a robot if she tried hard enough.
Would be Machina, yes.
Yeah, Machina. Favorite. Yeah. Although that being said, like, just as somebody who's played an instrument, I love the music. I'm not a huge fan of J-pop or K-pop, or, you know, I'm not against it or anything. I don't hate it, but I'm not usually a fan. But I dug the themes that they were using, and especially that last one.
And that's the single that's funny that you latched onto that too, because that's the single, the first single they released.
It was definitely the best sounding one out of the songs that they played.
Ikenai Borderline. Yeah,
I really like that. Yeah. But like I said, it left me wanting to see the rest of the episode. And if that had been a complete episode, I would have been perfectly fine with it.
Cool.
Because then it just, you know, you start off the next episode with just like straight to the action.
Yeah.
But you were saying it was definitely one of those situations where there's a lot of characters introduced all at once. Kind of like shotgun scattered mm-hmm. all around and it's kind of overwhelming at first. And I'm eager to see how it will unfold in later episodes. But all in all, this was my first Macross episode, and I all in all liked it.
Nice. Well, that's cool. See? So there you go. There is hope for newer male Macross fans. This is not just an anime that's intended for the female audience. So there you go, a perspective from a non-Macross fan watching Delta for the first time. Thanks, JD.
No problem.
Well, I'm not much of a speaker, but I'll give this a shot. My name is Arbit on the boards, and I'm a Macross fan. Now, going into this, I think it's important for to know the background of reviewers to get an idea, a sense of what their interests are. Now, I'm an older guy. I watched Macross, Robotech, first run in syndication on U.S. television in the mid-80s, and I've been a Macross fan ever since. Of course, I prefer Macross now, original and unedited, like any other, you know, educated Japanese anime fan. Now, so obviously, I'm interested in something that's more dramatic. I want my Destroids. I want it to take itself a little bit seriously. Even with all the goofiness of mid-80s anime, Macross was something that's more dramatic and had a more consistent storyline, and that's why we're all fans. I mean, if Macross 7 was the first Macross series that ever came out, I don't think that would have captured this level of fandom. So going into this, yes, my personal interests are that I want something that's a gritty war drama with love triangles, and hey, throw in as much goofiness as you want, as long as you give me a standard or a straightforward storyline that I can dig my teeth into. So going into Delta, I know that I'm not the target audience. I mean, I'm a 45-year-old guy with four children. The demographics today aren't going to give me the anime that I want in most cases. So I have to understand the market, and I have to understand who the target audience is. So when I hear that Delta's coming out, I assume it's going to pick up from where Frontier left off, and it's going to be targeted to younger kids. It's going to be targeted to bringing in the girls, bringing in the young ladies. And there are going to be a lot of elements, as there were in Frontier, that are not going to sit well with me. At the same time, knowing the work of Shoji Kawamori, that there's going to be plenty of stuff that is going to work for me. And so I have to take both sides of that, because let's face it, I'm not the target audience. So you got to take what you can get. We're not going to get SDF. We're not going to get Do You Remember Love these days with the market the way it's going. We've had 15 years of MOE now where you feel like, where the hell am I? What am I watching? I mean, was this what I got into anime for in the first place? And you know that, you know, the time has passed us by. So when I do turn on Delta, nevertheless, there is that WTF moment when the idols are riding on the shoulders of pirouetting, dancing Valkyries, synchronized dance moves. I guess they'll be doing the moonwalk soon. And then the idols do something out of Sailor Moon or Cardcaptor Sakura, and they transform. Now, as others have mentioned, this is a staple of Macross, is the transformation of clothing, like Minmay's scenes in Do You Remember Love? But that was kind of a technological aspect to it. You know, they would stand on a kind of a base, and this would create the virtual reality and change the outfit. But here it's different. Delta is the reason it's so shocking, because it's not within that framework of technology. It was had to do with the had the, if we use the Gattai terminology for giant robot shows, this had the magic girl Maho Shoujo transformation movement. It had the Maho Shoujo posing. It had that toe-to-head transformation and posing and partial nudity. That is the staple of magical girl shows. This is not the technological virtual reality of Sharon, of Cheryl in Macross Plus, or do I have them in reverse? And it's not the Minmay walking on technology that helps her, that gives a virtual reality of the different outfits. This is a this is a magical girl transformation. Let's face it, that was the feeling and attitude of that. Now, these directors, the creators, Shoji Kawamori, he knows what he's doing. He's mentioned the hero transformations in anime as opposed to the hero transformations in Hollywood, the signals that are given, the symbolic elements. And he used that extremely heavily, for example, in Macross 7 with the Gattai framework brought into Macross. That framework of reusing animation cells and the hero song and the transformation in Macross 7 was not typical of Macross. It was atypical. Similarly, I would say, this transformation of the idol singers, the spirit of it was not consistent with previous Macross. This is why I think many people had a shock from it. Now, does that mean we don't enjoy the show? Does that mean we're not going to enjoy the show? No, but I think it's very fair for people to have that shock without being, you know, batted down as, you know, you're not real Macross fans or something, or you don't respect the Shoji Kawamori, or you don't respect... that's not true at all. But I think online, when somebody makes a comment, you don't know their past history. You don't know if they liked everything else, but they're commenting on one element that shocked them. And as a fan, I know that I'm also going to get what I do like in the show at the end of the day. They're not going to be putting in Raygolds or Rayguards and Destroids and all these nods to the Zentradi battleships. And I believe there were many other old school mecha featured in that show, in the first preview of Delta. So they're going to give the old fans what they want. And it's all there. I mean, they didn't put Raygolds in there for the new 16-year-old fans in Japan. They don't know what a Raygolt is. That stuff's there for us, for people in my generation. So it's going to be the same balance, I think, of at the end of the day, in terms of target audience, it's going to be the same balance as Frontier. There's going to be a lot of stuff for the old and a lot of stuff for the new. In this case, we also know that it's going to be a mixture of the kitschiness of Macross 7 and the seriousness and Valkyrie to Valkyrie battles of Macross Plus. And I say that's a great idea, because you've got to bring in the young audience, you've got to be commercial, you've got to have a successful product in today's market. And if you got to have Magic Girls to do it, hey, you know, I'm all for it. What I always wanted with something like Macross 7 was that it did have more serious elements of Macross Plus. It was too kiddie for me. The Valkyrie designs were very low quality. The character designs were very low quality. The animation, there was probably enough animation in those 39 episodes for 15 good episodes from all the reused cells and the reused music. And again, I was not the target audience for that show. But I found elements in it that I liked. I loved the music. I probably listen to more Macross 7 soundtracks than I do any others. As little as I actually enjoyed the trudge of going through Macross 7. I have good hopes for Delta as a fan for myself. And at the same time, I know that the target of this show is somebody 20, 30 years younger than I am. And we have to deal with it and take the good with the bad.
Sweet to one piece of heal. Hi, everyone. My name is Craig. I go by the Scream Man across the internet. I'm one of the hosts of the Repacked and Reanimated podcasts, which you can find at repackpodcast.com, which is largely a toy podcast, although Reanimated deals with anime. And I'm here today to talk about Macross Delta at Gwyn's request. So, what did I think of Macross Delta? Well, I really enjoyed it. Now, I listened to the speaker podcast that described the events of the episode before I actually watched it. So I'm not sure if that was an influence on what I thought, like if I, because I wasn't surprised that Walkia was such a big part of it, all the transformation sequences or anything like that. But nonetheless, I had a really, really good time. I think that I think I'm really going to like this show. I really, really do. Currently, I have to admit, Frontier is my favorite. I have been a fan since the beginning. I was a Robotech kid. I got into Macross in, you know, 94 with Macross Plus, and I've seen, you know, everything that is there is to see on, that's been filmed about Macross. I'm a fan of it, you know, like I've seen all the shows. But Frontier was the one that I really, really enjoyed. I don't know what about it sold me, but that became my favorite of the shows, with Plus a very, very close second. So I think that this one has, it feels more like Frontier to me than anything else. Everything about it felt like a very natural extension of the Macross universe, and especially the Frontier universe. I really like that we're in a colony, or I guess a series of colonies, it seems like, off in the, you know, the Outer Rim, to use a Star Wars term. But I think that's really cool. I think it's great that we're not on a ship anymore. It's nice to see a planet all the time, and to know that while ships and space travel will certainly be a part of the show, it seems, it looks like we're going to be seeing a lot more planet-based colonies, which I think is much more interesting. Or at least, if not more interesting, it's interesting at least because it comes on the heels of how much colony ship stuff we saw with the with Frontier and with Seven. In terms of characters, I didn't mind any of them. I kind of like the purple haired mystery girl the best. I don't really know why, but I kind of liked her. I also really enjoyed the mechs. I thought I think the VF-31 is gorgeous. I loved the YF-30 and this feels like a very very cool extension of that design. I also like the Drakens. It's funny, everyone refers to them as a Draken. No one talks about them as the SV-252s or whatever they are, 232s. Whereas we refer to the Valkyries all by their number designations most of the time. Weird. But not the point right now. I'm very tired, so this is a bit scattered and I apologize for that. But, yeah, I love the 31s, I love the Drakens, I think they're both really, really cool-looking mechs. I think the way they looked in the show was really neat. The only time I really felt, everyone was talking about the poor texture quality of the CG, the only time I really felt that was that very early on shot of the colony ship that Freya is on. Like, it sort of comes into frame from the top of the frame, sort of, well, I guess it comes in the back middle of the frame. And that looked really sort of awful, like unfinished. But that was the only shot that really jumped out at me as unfinished. I didn't mind 31s themselves. I thought they looked fine. I didn't mind the power loader thing that our hero was zipping around on and dancing with. So, yeah, visually, and I liked the general art design style and the sort of aesthetic of everything. I thought was really cool. I like the colors. It's very bright, colorful show, which I really enjoy. Well, what else did I want to address? I think it's interesting that I've heard a lot of people talking about all the people who don't like it. They're just, you know, they only want a gritty, serious Macross, or the people who don't like it just, you know, aren't into Macross and they don't get it or anything like that. Like, I don't think that's fair. I think based on this pilot, there are legitimate things that could be a bummer. There are legitimate things that I think certainly It may not be what you want out of a franchise, especially if, like, Seven wasn't your cup of tea. This has that sort of goofy element of Seven that I think you know, put a lot of people off. And so I can see why some people would be bummed out. I'm not, because to me that's always been a part of Macross. Macross is goofy as hell. Like, it's silly. The original series is silly. It's fantastic, and I certainly take it as seriously as anyone, but I take it as seriously as anyone within the context of it being silly. Yeah, everyone says, you know, Plus is the serious one, and it is, but it's still about a computer program that goes nuts and tries to take over the world and almost succeeds because she's in love with a pilot, and another pilot doesn't like that, and they fight, even though they're buddies. Like, it's melodrama, it's goofy, it's silly, and that's fine. I think you should embrace the silly, embrace the goofy. Obviously, Seven, we don't have to talk about how goofy that was. Frontier, the guy does, I mean, our lead hero gets his fighter to do a geisha pose. His first flight out. Not geisha, what did he do? The dancing. Like being a geisha. Guy in drag outfit. I'm very tired. So, the point is that, you know, Macross is kind of goofy and silly, and so nothing in this made me go, oh, well, that's goofier and sillier than something we've seen before, because I don't think it is. There's a lot of what's there that feels like very logical extensions of the technology in Macross. Hoverboards and little hovery things have been around since Plus. We know that in Plus there's a guy on a hoverboard at one point. So, you know, that's why things like the little boomerang shields don't bother me. They're clearly controlled by, you know, I'm sure they're not mentally controlled. I'm sure it's the gestures that the girls make tied into, like, wires in the suits and computer mapping and all that sort of stuff, that I'm sure that that's how it all works, and that's fine. The fingernail phones, that feels perfectly logical to me. Ranka had a phone that was a frog. You know, like, again, there's nothing about, you know, that bothers me. Also, not everyone has it, the fingernail phones, because we see Mirage with a sci-fi normal cell phone. So, you know, it's not like it's common technology, but I buy the technology that it exists in the Macross universe. The changing clothes, the sort of Sailor Moony transformation sequence. Holographic clothing has been around at Macross for a long, long time. So again, doesn't bother me. It all makes logical sense within the context of the Macross universe to me. So I guess my thing is, I get if you don't like it. I understand that. I can see that there is a lot about it that you wouldn't like. My message would be, don't write it off after less than one episode. You know, there's a lot of shows that don't get good until four or five episodes in. And they're still great shows. You know, you've got to watch a few episodes to really get your head around it. We got less than one. So I don't think it's worth writing off at this point. I think the show is going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to be in for a hell of a ride. I think we've got some exciting times ahead. It's going to be a good year, both for Macross and for just anime. You know, there's a few shows coming out this year that look great. Anyway, I guess that's my incoherent rant. Gwyn's been after me to do this, and I picked a time when I'm running on next to no sleep, because I'm a genius that way. So I hope that I have offered some vague sort of insight into my thoughts on Delta and its place in the Macross universe. I hope that you guys do give it a chance. Those of you who are on the fence or who thought the first episode wasn't that great, but, you know, don't have vitriolic hatred for it, I hope that you go back and give it another chance and end up enjoying the show when it comes out in April. Yeah, I think that's basically all I got to say. So, once again, my name is Craig. I go by the Screen Man online. You can reach me at the Repacked Podcast. Just Google us. We're around Repack Podcast on Facebook or at Repack Podcast on Twitter. I'm also at The Scream Man on Twitter if you want to tell me why I'm wrong. But, yeah. Zwei, eins.
Hey there, Speaker Podcast crew and all the listeners. My name is Robert, a.k.a. VF15 Banshee, on the Macross World Forums. I'm also on the Macross Fans US Facebook group. Here to offer some thoughts about Macross Delta. So overall, I quite enjoyed it. Although, Walkeray's stylings are going to take a little bit of getting used to, but you know what? That's okay, because I acknowledge that I'm kind of an old fart now, and this show is being aimed at kids that, well, aren't me. But I still enjoyed most of the episode. It does have its flaws. Probably the most prominent one being that we get a lot of exposure to Freya, Hayate, and a little bit of Mirage as well, but I don't think we get quite that much with the rest of the cast, the members of Walkeray, Delta Squadron, the Aerial Knights. You probably get more explanation of what their deal is individually with the little blurbs they have for the characters on the website rather than in the episode itself. I'm kind of hoping they might fix that a little bit in the actual episode one, but I don't know, we'll see. As for the characters specifically, I really like Freya. She made possibly even more an impression on me than Ranka did when I watched Macross Frontier for the first time. And Mirage seems interesting. Of course, everybody wants to know whether she's one of the grandchildren of Maximilia or maybe possibly a ninth daughter. Is it 9 or is it 10? I've lost track. although that's probably very unlikely. And as little of them as we saw, I'm very interested in the other characters. I really do like the various members of Walkeray, Kaname, Mikumo, Makina, and Reyna. And I also highly enjoy that pretty much all of the characters seem to be named after either things related to aviation or famous aviators. But I do wish we had seen just a little bit, or rather, had time to get to know some of the other characters a bit better through the course of the episode. Maybe not have actually revealed the Aerial Knights until the second episode, perhaps? Who knows? As for the story the episode set up, it's very interesting. I'm thinking that, and I might get corrected on this, because it might be something that already might have been hinted at, but I'm just trying to give the rawest impressions I can, even though I watched the episode almost a month ago. And that is, I really think the VAR syndrome is going to have something to do with the protoculture. We saw that mysterious singer in the episode that seemed to activate the VAR syndrome, whom, for the time being, I shall refer to as Ishtar. and given that it seemed to affect only Zentradi and those who might have at least some Zentradi in them, although it's been pointed out that it might have affected humans as well, I just really want to know what all the connections are there, especially with the emulator-style singing that activates it all. That is an interesting twist I did not see coming, because, of course, even if it's unintentional, it's one gigantic reference to Macross 2, which seems to have been neglected somewhat as of late, except for its Blu-ray release and the new VF2 toy, of course. I also like that it seems to be set out in a part, not even in the Milky Way galaxy itself, but in a completely different part of space, one of the dwarf galaxies orbiting our galaxy. That was not something I was expecting. I like the way they've made everything look. The design of the show is very interesting, especially for this planet we start off on, Al-Shalal, and having a very, part of it has a very futuristic feel to it, but another part seems to look more like modern-day Middle Eastern cities, so it's a very interesting, contrasting mix of styles there. And there seems to be a lot more variety to the people in the background than we've seen before. One person, I think it might have been Annika Annika Perkins, who pointed out that there might have been more people of Chuck's race in the crowds at some point, so that was also interesting. What else? Ah, the mechanicals. All things mechanical and mecha. VF-31 Siegfried, absolutely loving it. Would have preferred if they kept the design just a little bit closer to the original YF-30, but I guess they need to make it stand out from that model as much as they can. Particularly what I'm interested about that is the I don't know what to call them, the fin funnels? Yeah, I know that's a Gundam term, but I don't think we know what they're actually called, so I'm just going to call them fin funnels. The fin funnels, which, using that term, it's interesting that the Walkure idols can control them rather than the pilots of the VF-31s. And they actually do seem to exhibit a lot of the same qualities that funnels from Gundam have, which, you know, is not surprising given that Kawamori's such a big Gundam fan. I mean, they can create shields, they need to be recharged every so often. I think the only thing we don't see them do is directly attacking, which, of course, would probably not be as useful to Walkure and Delta Squadron. The VF-31s have plenty enough weapons anyway. I was not expecting the twist that the Drakens had ghosts mounted on them that can act as boosters and their own version of auto-attack bits. And a lot of the other minor touches, especially a lot of the revamped Zentradi mecha. Having just recently rewatched Macross, the original Macross, it was nice to see all of that again. So yeah, one little blurb here, having mentioned Gundam, they really need to get Kawamori back to design some more Gundams. But yeah, enough of that. Anyway, I think that's just about everything on initial thoughts. It's kind of hard to judge everything as a whole at the moment because we only have this one episode. But, I almost forgot Walkure's songs. Really quickly, I didn't much care for the other two songs they played in the episode. I thought they sounded kind of generic. But Ikene Borderline is great, and I really like that song. Although some of the background music, it also didn't really sound quite as grand as the orchestral pieces for Frontier. But I don't know, we'll see. Like I said, it's kind of hard to judge it as a whole since we just have this one episode, which may not even be fully complete yet. But from what I've seen, I'm interested, and I definitely want to watch more. And, by the way, I'm on Team Reyna, just so everybody knows. Anyway, that's Robert, a.k.a. VF-15 Banshee, and I'm folding out. See ya! Go, Tikuru Venus! Valkyrie!
And that's about it. thank you again to everyone for sending your opinions in to us. I'm thinking of doing a follow-up episode similar to this one when Delta finishes, so we can get everyone's opinion post-series. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. As always, if you want to get in touch with me or anyone else on the podcast, you can contact us via the Macross World forums, Facebook, or at speakerpod@gmail.com. Since this has been an episode by the fans, for the fans, what better way to take it out than a cover by a fan? I'll leave you guys this episode with a cover of Ikenai Borderline from the first episode of Macross Delta. It's by a fan named Hina, who you can find at HinaTube channel over at youtube.com. Until next episode, this is the Macross Speaker Podcast, folding out. メラメラしてる狙うほど謎が増え